Podcasting 2.0 for February 23rd, 2024, episode 168, Frog Giggin'. Hello everybody in the boardroom. Welcome to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything happening at podcastindex.org, that new fancy website, podcasting2.org. Of course, all the things happening with the namespace. We have a special guest today, one of the members of the board, and everything happening at podcastindex.social. This is the boardroom that runs its own LLM on local machines. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who is looking to survive against CSB's AI. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
Nobody survives against CSB on the AI.
He will just
make a mockery of you with his cartoons.
Did I see him type in a prompt and it created an RSS feed with an enclosure? Is that what I saw?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then somebody else said, hey, try this. And he's like, no, you do it.
Okay.
But I don't want to.
That already sounds super suspicious.
No, I've been playing with the NVIDIA chat with RTX tool.
Do you have the card that you need for that?
Yeah.
Oh, you have an NVIDIA card?
I've got a 3050. It's not a powerful card, but you don't need much. All you need is eight. You need a 3000 series card, and you need, which the 3050 is like $200. So you can get like... you need a 3000 series RTX card minimum, and you need a minimum 8 gigs of RAM on board the card. So that's what this has. So you can run it. No, it's not fast, but it's doable. But the cool, like the interesting thing is like so it loads up all the stuff and it's got a pretty beefy model. It's like 30 gigs.
No, that's quite large.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's the Mistral model.
Yeah.
God, who knows with all these LLMs, they have like a genealogy tree that's hard to trace now, mm-hmm. but it's got a big model, and then you put, it's got a folder and you drop in, PDFs, TXT files or Word documents into this folder, and then have it regenerate this RAG, which is like, it takes the model and then it applies the model to your local set of material. So then you're basically, it's like an adjunct training for the model itself. So it really only will tell you stuff about this, about what you train it with.
Do you remember back in the day when, if we were talking like a 3050, you would automatically think that means a carburetor for your motorcycle, and a big model was that you were dating a Kardashian. I mean, what has happened to our conversation, man?
My truck has an Autolite 1100 carburetor on it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Let me take a look at what I'm running. So I have the LLMs, running on the Start OS. Let me see what models I have. Yeah, the biggest one I have is 7.5 gigs. That's the new Hermé Llama 2. And the Mytho Max, which is 5. So, yeah, that is a beefy model. I don't have something that big.
Oh, it's like 32 gig download. It's huge.
Wow.
It's huge. But so I dropped the podcast namespace
into it
as the only training material.
And do you have to say, learn this? Is that what you have to do? Or just say, hey, suck this in? What prompt do you give when you do that?
Yeah, you hit the suck this in button and it
really
sucks it in.
I'm not even going to question it. I'm sure there is.
Yeah. You hit the suck button and it sucks it in, mm-hmm. and then it regenerates everything. It takes, depending on how much material you give it, it can take a long time. But like with just that document, it took, I don't know, a minute.
And it keeps and that then, and it stores that forever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it retrains the
wow.
See that, this is the part I don't understand, because it's this thing called an RAG. So it's like
it's a rag, basically.
It's a rag.
What part don't you get? It's a rag.
It creates the rag off of the model, and then you wipe stuff with it.
Mm.
I told it, I said generate a Podcasting 2.0 chapters file with chapters at these time markers with these titles, just basically gave it a basic task that it should know how to do off the namespace.
And
it, the chapters file came out good. The next thing I asked it to do was create an RSS feed item tag with an MP3 enclosure and an HLS stream as the alternate enclosure. And it completely fell down. It gave me as a live item, not an item.
Okay.
Because
it's still impressive.
No, it was good. It was good, but it started making up attributes. Like it was
hallucination.
It's attribute hallucination.
Mm.
And it was making up for the enclosure tag. It gave it like a bit rate attribute and a height attribute and all these weird things.
Now,
like,
okay. Can you correct it or do you just say you suck? I mean, what do you do at that point?
Well, yeah, I did say you suck. I said that a couple times, but then you could just pull in more spec.
Mm.
So you could just keep pulling in, you know, like because I didn't pull in the RSS 2.0 spec itself. I didn't pull in the iTunes namespace. Like, I think you could just keep piling material in here to give it more to work with, and it would give you better answers. But
That's great. So pretty soon just have that thing show up to the podcast.
Yeah, that would be good. And you wouldn't even need me. We could just AI generate the guest.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, though.
It's fun.
Fun is the key word. I mean, would you actually put something like that into production for any act? Can you see yourself creating a cron job to do something like that?
A cron? No. So I know. I guess let me talk about AI for just a second because I've got some thoughts on this. I haven't really spent time trying to figure out my thoughts on it in general. The AI tool, I guess I've just got a couple of thoughts after especially listening to Todd.
Todd, I know. Like, oh, it's so great. I don't have to do it. I don't have to show up. I just throw it on there. It's great.
Todd's a believer.
He's a full believer. Definitely is a follower of the ChatGPTs.
And I'm not going to take that away from him. I mean, clearly there's some... I think what we have to, here's where I think I stand right now is I guess number one, the AI tools being built for stuff like podcasting, they work. You can see that they will work well when they're targeted
for a specific
small
task.
Processes. Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is key. Where there's a human approval step at the end of that pipeline.
Yes.
Which itself is not too time consuming. So you could say something like, give me a bunch of chapters, you know, give me chapters for this. Here's the transcript. Give me a bunch of chapters for this. I'm with markers at these few key points and try to generate some titles. And then it gives you that thing. And then you can just quickly scan the titles, see if they make sense for you, maybe hit a couple of previews and see if they make sense. Like if it can do some of the grunt work and then give you a thing to quickly review to make sure for you to sign off on, to me, that's the best use case for all of this.
I mean, I've used it. I use my own models, as I said, and I'm going to blow my cover on this one, but Mark Void Zero, you know, he started his own IT company and his number one client is No Agenda, that's his first client. You know, so we wanted to help him out. Yeah, exactly. And so he said, would you mind writing me a recommendation? And so I went, I'm blowing my cover here. So I went into my Start 9 and I gave it, you know, like, I don't know, maybe two or three sentences and it pooped out a very decent review. It was flowery. So, you know, I cut out some of the flowery nonsense and sent it to him. He's like, wow, this is so great. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that an LLM had done it. But for that, I was like, yeah, that's actually, you know, just looking at it, it's very, I'd say reasonably close to what I would have done for a glowing review. It was not bad at all.
It's really hard to contain, to keep in your mind that this is not that when the AI is when the model is giving you results, the language model. I'm trying to be specific and say language model, not mm-hmm. not AI, because it's right. this is different. So when it's hard to remember this when you're using it, but I think it is actually critical to remember is the LLM is not, it doesn't know anything.
No.
In the sense that we mean that we all understand what that term is. These language models don't know any, all they know is likelihood of a word to come after another word in a particular context. They're just regurgitating language patterns.
Yeah, it's a parlor trick. It your brain goes, wow, it's talking to me.
Right, and you may come out with something very useful.
Mm-hmm. But you may not.
Right. So when I say, give me an item, an RSS podcast item with an HLS alternate enclosure in it, you immediately see a thing in your head because you know what those words mean. This thing the language models only know the text that it's seen before and the arrangement of in the order of the words right. and the symbols right. that those texts appear. And so it's not actually able to give you what you want in the sense that it knows what you want.
No,
it's like
in my example, it's learned hundreds, thousands, I don't know, 10,000s of glowing reviews, probably sucked it in from Yelp. And and it knows that, yeah, okay, well, it's this kind of business. Here's the next word. Here's the next word. Yeah, I mean, I can see that. And a professional writer sees that. I mean, Tina mm-hmm. helps people out with resumes all the time. They'll say, okay, well, I did a start, and she'll get the document. She says, ChatGPT. She'll know right away.
She
can
nails
see
it immediately.
Yeah, of course. You can see it. And I think eventually with... You know, these co-pilots and all this coding stuff. I think people will always, I mean, again, it's like, okay, God created the world in 6 days. And the seventh day, he had to take a break because it took effort and energy. That's the part that cannot be missing from the creative process.
The energy.
And the effort. And there's something soulful and spiritual that goes into creating things. So to regurgitate and create things that have existed before. And, you know, I mean, I see this with the No Agenda Art Generator. Go look at noagendaartgenerator.com. Artists have been creating artwork for the No Agenda show for over a decade. There's 35,000 images in there. And ever since... DALL-E and Stable Diffusion and all these other different programs, many more people are uploading stuff that is soulless. I'm looking at you, commentary blogger. It's soulless. I mean, it is. It's soulless. And it rarely gets picked. Sometimes someone has figured out how to use it and how to, you know, I guess go through several iterations and inject actual humor, which is very hard to do. You know, I haven't seen AI do humor very well. Or love, or passion, or any of this. It just does. So, right. And when you look at it en masse and you see, I mean, you can see the changeover in the work that's submitted. And most of it, it's beautifully rendered, but no, it's just, it's not funny. It's not, it has no soul. That's it.
The other thing I thought of was AI tools, like the stuff that's being built, right now with these sort of like third party startups that are coming up, I'm sorry, but those guys are toast. The podcast hosting companies, you know, I think Buzzsprout was the first one to do it with their, what was it called? Co-host or something like that. And then, Transistor is doing it, but Blueberry, they're all in, RSS.com. They're all gonna start doing this. I mean, they're all just because basically all these third party tools.
Yeah.
That do AI stuff to support podcasters, the hosting companies themselves are just going to pull that capability
in-house. Yeah. And those little companies will all go broke because, I mean, right now this is the investment client, you know, the climate, this is where all the investment money's going into.
NVIDIA, man. I mean, God, they are just printing money right now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I would not be, I'm going to, I got a prediction. I would not be surprised if in the next 3 years, NVIDIA buys Intel.
Oh, that's very possible. That's possible. It'll also be the best short of our lifetime once everyone figures out what bullcrap this all really is. Whenever they pivot to quantum computing, whatever comes next. I mean, remember, it was machine learning just a year ago. You know, it's all branding. It's all branding stuff. Anyway, it's not going to save podcasting. Yeah, and podcasting doesn't need saving.
No.
But I've been doing my show prep, and I have a question. Why is there this? And maybe it's just the podcast industrial complex, which I love.
It is.
As one of the
I
most,
don't know what your question most, is, but the answer
most
is,
singularly unhelpful terms in my vocabulary. This growing your podcast. You know, I'm a little sick of the term because the whole world seems to be about growing your podcast and you have to have X amount of downloads. And I'm like, do people grow their tennis game or their golf game or just have fun playing golf and playing tennis? Not everybody has to be a pro. Is that, I mean, am I missing something here that that you get into podcasting, it has to be a profession?
It's the math of CPMs. It's all about the advertising.
How about serving a community?
You know? I had this issue with that dude that was around for a while. He bailed out of podcasting, but he was making waves all the time about how Spotify was the future of podcasting. I forgot that dude's name.
Where'd he come from?
He's like a podcast consultant, man. I cannot remember his name, but he was a podcast consultant and he was writing these articles and arguing with people about how Spotify was the way that all creators and all podcasters in the future were going to be able to make the most money.
Yeah.
And all of his arguments were based on advertising math. It's like, if you have this many, so, I mean, it was basically a formula. Like if you have Dovidos would love this. Yeah, it's like a formula of, you know, math formula of if you have this many listeners and this much growth rate and you get this CPM and this much reach and this level of engagement and blah, 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 blah. And you put it all into this formula, you're rich.
And you get a plastic egg with a ring inside.
And I was like, well, yeah, but has anybody stopped to ask the listeners what, like, if they're willing to participate in this formula? Because I'm not sure that it's as easy as all that. Because if we all did that, this formula breaks down. I mean, this is
Also, it's the same type of people who are telling you, you know, what you should do, how you do a podcast, and you got to choose your topic. I got a one idea. Start a music podcast. This is an open field. Don't start a podcast about talking something, whatever the topic is. There's already one there. Start a music podcast.
I've got an even better. Maybe not a better idea. I've got another idea. Start an audiobook.
There you go.
I mean, just start doing audiobook podcasts and put value for value tags in it. I mean, and you talk about a greenfield. Like every third week, two out of every 3 weeks that I listen to America This Week podcast, the short story that they talk about is not available anywhere in audio.
It's infuriating.
I mean, you listen to that show, find out what audiobook they're what short story they're talking about. It'll take you an hour and a half to record it, throw a value tag in there, and launch it out there and done. Boom.
Yeah.
You're the only game in town. That's the only. And most of these are all very old public domain stories. They're all usually like, 19th century Russian literature. they're just old stuff, you know? And it's like you're the only, at that point, you're the only available source of this story in audio and you have a value tag.
Or you can go to, the open source public domain website? The printing press guy. The printing press guy. What's his name?
Oh, Gutenberg.
Gutenberg. I think it's Project Gutenberg. Thank you. Yeah. You can go to Project Gutenberg. You can find just all kinds of books, classics even, that are public domain, and start reading and recording.
Yeah.
I started it with Tom Swift, which I, at the time, I was blown away. The Tom Swift books. You ever read those, the Tom Swift books?
I never have, no.
You know of them? Tom Swift and his electric grandmother and all that stuff, his flying machine.
Wasn't Tom Swift kind of like Hardy Boys?
Pre-Hardy Boys. Bit. Yeah, he was an inventor, and you know, he had a flying machine, and then he had a submarine. And Victor Appleton, which is not even, it's a pen name that several authors used. And I
Mark Pugner.
Mark Pugner, exactly. And I actually started reading a couple of those for an audiobook project a while back. Now, of course, I never completed it, but you know, that's because other things got in the way. But I was like, this is kind of fun to read. All kinds of stuff like that. I was invited to listen to this crew. I was invited to something called the V4V Roundtable.
I heard about this.
And it's a podcast, and it was so new I didn't realize it was episode number one, and they had asked me to be a guest. And it was Jimmy V, Sir Libre, and Sir TJ the Wrathful. And it was quite adorable until they got to the part where they're like, yeah, we want to do a V4V awards. I'm like, no, stop now. Just stop. And as they said later, well, we really just wanted an excuse to hang out. Well, then fine, do a meetup. Awards are so fiat to me these days. It's like, it's the antithesis of podcasting. It's really the opposite.
A V4V for just, they wanted to do awards for just music?
I think for music.
Okay.
It's like, how can you can't do that. That
would be kind of funny, though. I would watch it. I would watch the V4V Music Awards.
What a train wreck that would be. No.
I know. That's why I would watch it, because it would be hilarious.
These days, award shows are still around because it's a business model. You charge people to submit. You know, it never used to be that way. It used to be, you know, your peers. And who can be a peer in this business? It's impossible. All of this is an arachnid.
Anachronism.
Anachronism.
I think you're talking about spiders. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yes, arachnophobia. That's my problem. But an arachnid, I can't say the word now.
Anachronism.
Yes.
It's old stuff. It's vestigial.
Yes. There you go. Perfect.
Do we want to dare venture into this, into the fees discussion?
Why don't we bring our guest in? Because he'll be more fun to talk about it. He's been waiting patiently for about 20 minutes here. He is no stranger to the boardroom. And he has been in the podcasting 2.0 project from very early days. And he is, as far as I know, the first guest ever who sent his own questions. Which I thought was just great. He's like, hey, are you going to be on the podcast? Yeah, here are some talking points I thought we could talk about tomorrow. Yes, perfect. We would like to welcome back to the boardroom a fan favorite, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from France, Benjamin Bellamy.
Bonjour, le boardroom.
Hey, bonjour to you, buddy.
How are you?
We're good. We appreciate you coming on. We know that it's about 8 o'clock at night, I guess now.
Is 8 o'clock sharp.
I have an important question right off the top. That now are you in Paris? I forget if you're in Paris.
I am in Paris. Yes.
So what's up with the farmers? How's that going? Are they really pouring cow poop into government buildings? Because I love that idea.
Yeah, but not in Paris. They weren't allowed to get into Paris, so we haven't seen them.
Mm.
And actually, it didn't last very long, so they're back to their farms now.
Yeah, but is that resolved? Are they happy now? Because they seem pretty angry.
Is this a political podcast now?
No, I like farmers. I'm just purely interested, because you were seeing these protests around the world, and no one in America ever talks about it. And our farmers, I don't know what they're doing. They're not pouring cow manure in anywhere. And you know, I see it all over Europe. I'm just curious, you know, is that fixed? Are they happy? I mean, do you guys have food to eat?
No, nothing is fixed, but they got home because the only thing that they managed to get is to be allowed to use pesticides and everything, and to stop all the ecological laws. So
the climate change stuff. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So they're allowed to ruin the climate. Yeah. Yeah. So they say, yeah, good enough. But they'll probably be back. Like next year or within 6 months.
But I'm just impressed. I'm impressed with the French farmer. I'm impressed with the Dutch farmers and the Germans. I'm just impressed with it because we don't have anything like that happens here.
We don't protest.
We put on pink pussy hats and walk around. Yeah, it's like, that's not cool.
You probably have to be really careful when you're watching the news because it's like a huge magnifier.
No, you're kidding. No way, Benjamin. You mean the news is full of crap?
It isn't, but like the country weren't just like a crap and a fire, and it was very localized.
Yeah, gotcha.
Crap and fire. That's
crap and fire. Title. Great show title. Yes.
Yeah, right off the bat, Ben.
Brother, we are so happy that you're back on in the boardroom because I mean, you want to give us a little update on Castapod? Because it's been, how long has it been? It's been over a year and a half maybe since we last had you on.
I think it's way more. It's I think it's 2 years. Yeah, I was here on episode 29.
Wow. Yeah. So it well.
So that's well, very long.
Tell us about Castapod, but I also want to I want you to explain the Castapod Index as well.
Oh, sure. Well, Castapod, as you know, is our open source hosting platform, which we've been developing for 3 years now. We started exactly when you guys started podcasting 2.0. So, that's over 3 years now. And we've moving forward. We have a huge roadmap and many, many things coming this year. I think we have new tags. We just added the medium one with thanks to our contributors. We have 51 contributors that are working on Castapod now, mainly for the translations, but also on some bug corrections and features.
Now, just so not everybody knows, but you have castapod.org, which is the open source self-host it. And then I think you have castapod.com, which includes hosting for a small fee. Is that still in place?
Yeah, that's correct. We just like copied what WordPress is doing. We'd like to think that we are the WordPress for our podcast. In a sense that we use the same technology, which is PHP MySQL. If you want to self-host on a very cheap shared hosting, you can unzip a zip file and then run a wizard, and you're ready to go and podcast. And we also have two websites, the .org, castapod.org, where you can download the whole server. And on castapod.com, within like 1 minute, you subscribe, you enter your credit card, and you're ready to go. And you can use your own domain name, and like it's your home, your podcast.
Right.
And you own your data, your audience, everything belongs to you.
And can you give us an idea of how many people are using self-hosted versus hosted? I mean, I just have no, you've been doing this for a while. So I'm just curious how the uptake has been.
I cannot give you the exact numbers for a very simple reason. We don't have any, anything within Castapod that tells you when someone installs it. We don't know. So, and they are, quite a bunch of podcasts that are using Castopod, self-hosted, mm-hmm. and that are not registered on the podcast index.
Oh, really?
I found some of them quite often. Usually, I'm aware of them when John Spurlock says, this is something that's Castopod podcast that is trying to use OP3, but since it's not in the podcast index, I cannot process it.
Oh, and is this on purpose? Is it just that they don't want to be in the index, or it's not known to them?
I think we can call that a bug. Basically, a bug. What we should be doing is when the wizard ends the Castopod installation system, we should add a button. Do you wish to register to podcast index? And my guess is that most podcasts that are not in the podcast index, it's just because they don't know that it exists.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, probably.
I've got a real easy way for you to do that, Ben. You can, just send
Podping. So
just send a Podping. We have our web sub hub also acts as a Podping generator. So you can call hub.podcastindex.org, pub notify, and then just send a Podping, and there's no authentication keys required. If you just send that as soon as somebody rolls a new Castopod instance, then we'll pick the feed up and everybody else should see it too.
Yeah, we know there are many, many ways of doing that. It's just something that we have a huge pile of tasks that are on our to-do list. And that's something that we should have done years ago and we still haven't.
We know how this works, Benjamin. No worries. Dave and I still have to go on vacation together. That's at the bottom of the stack.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, so this is an interesting, I don't want to derail you, but I'm trying to make a mental note to come back to this because Mitch from Podverse is also trying to, transition more into being a maintainer and building up a community around Podverse that will contribute open source code. And it sounds like Castopod has been successful to a degree with getting people with building a code contribution community.
We're not there yet. There are still work to do. I'm encouraging anyone who wants to get involved to get on our GitLab server on code.castopod.org. And the number of issues we have on GitLab is so long that we could use a hand. So, just to answer your questions, without we forget about it, I think there are between 300 and 500 podcasts using Castopod right now,
great.
To give you an idea. So that's quite a lot because like a year ago, there were maybe a dozen or so. So yeah, it's like I think we have like a plus 30% every month. But yeah, that could be we could have like 10 times this amount. If you see the number of blogs using WordPress, we're not on the same scale here. Even if you're looking at a podcast generator, which was the open source system that I was using before we developed Castopod, there are more podcasts using podcast generator now. So there's still a huge room for growth.
Are you still still funded partially or entirely for the project by government funds? NLNet. Oh, that's NLNet. Is that now European?
What?
Like, is that now EU money, NLNet, or is LNet, where did they get their funding from? I forgot.
From EU. European Union. Partly still. So we are still partly funded by NLNet, European Union, and that's just a small part of our what it really costs in the end.
Yeah, of course. They should force all those people at the EU to use Castapod for their podcasts.
Yeah,
I don't think they do. I they use all kinds of stuff, and I follow a lot of EU podcasts, but they're never on Castapod, to my knowledge.
Yes, yeah, some are getting there. I think the one of the problems that we have, both Yasin and me, is that we're, I guess, not that bad developing stuff, but we're not that good for selling them. Even if it's selling for free. So that's something we need to develop.
Now, in government, I find if you make it 10,000 euros, that's when they all want to have it. You see, you're doing it the wrong way with these government people.
Yeah
they probably don't like free.
Yeah. Free, yeah. That can't be good. We need to get something from Boeing. It costs a lot of money. That's right.
I like the way you said that. We're not bad at developing things, but we're not good at selling things. Yep, pretty much. That pretty much nailed it. That's most open source projects, Ben.
That's right.
We have pretty good feedbacks from the whole community. We have local radio networks that are using Castapod now. We're getting there, yeah. The future is very interesting. I'm very excited about what this year will bring.
How many Castapod users do you have a feel are French versus outside of France? Is there, what does that look like?
I think it reflects the number of podcasts that they are like worldwide. Obviously, we have, I don't know, maybe 50 podcasts, French podcasts using Castapod. So that like 10%. But if you compare that to the number in the podcast index, I looked this morning, there were 90,000 podcasts in French. So I don't know if there are Canadians or French, Swiss or Belgium, but so that less that now 100,000 compared to like 2 million in English.
Right.
And I guess like 800,000 in Spanish and maybe 300,000 in Portuguese. So the market, the podcasting market for a French language is still in the very, very early stages.
We were talking about AI just a little bit ago, and I have a theory about this. You know, one of the things that it's come around like three times now. It's like, oh, this company will now transcribe your podcast into five different languages with natural sounding voices. And what I'm always surprised by is that it's never the other way around. I don't hear any, and this is what my question would be, are there any companies who are saying, we'll take your French spoken podcast and turn it into English? That would be part one of the question. And part two is, are there actually any podcasts that have been transmorphed into French from English that are doing anything in France? I mean, is this just total vaporware that no one's using it?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the podcasting market is really, really different from everything else that we know.
Why?
My guess is because it's hippie stuff from the beginning. Like the fact that
hippie,
yeah,
hippie, I like it. Hippie stuff. All right, there's another show.
The fact that it still uses technology from the 90s. Where you can choose the hosting company, you can choose the index, you can choose the app for playing your podcast, make it really difficult for big corporations to make money out of it. And so they tend not to be interested in it, I think. And even if you look at the dynamic audio insertion market for advertising and podcasting. It's tiny, really small compared to the radio industry. It's really small. It's the beginning, and eventually it's going to grow. That's for sure. So some companies are interested in that, but it's so difficult because it is distributed. And it's not like a closed silo as it can be on YouTube.
You know, it's interesting because I was in Italy last year, September, and I think it was Spotify, but something had happened and all of a sudden Italy was crazy about podcasts and they had never really picked it up before. And I don't know if it was one certain, my nephew and nieces were like, oh yeah, no, there's this one guy and he's doing a podcast and this comedian's doing a podcast. And somehow it just caught fire. And all of a sudden the whole country was all nuts about podcasting. It seems like you need to have that one spark and then it takes off. And I don't, and again, I think it might've been Spotify that did that and they did something good. What are the podcasts? And so there's so few. Are there like, you know, mainstream entertainers doing podcasts?
You mean in France?
Yeah.
Oh, basically the whole industry here is, organized and by the radio networks.
Oh yeah. Okay. Right.
I was looking at some numbers. In France, 67% of every audio consumption is done on the radio networks. Mm. And only 10% is podcasts.
Right.
And this 10%, 3 is for indie podcasts and 7 is for the radio podcasts.
Gotcha.
So the radio industry is still very, very strong.
But so also, do you trust those numbers? Do you trust those numbers? Like where's the measurement for that coming from?
Even if you don't trust them, the difference is so big that, okay. Yeah, at some point. And yeah, you can see that people are still listening. I think 60% of French people are listening to the radio like every day. So we have a very strong radio culture here.
It's funny to me how that works in different cultures. Like I had heard somebody telling me maybe a year ago that like Japan has a really intense fax machine culture. If you go to Japan, it's just they fax everything. This is, I mean, still to today. I mean, we're not talking about 2 decades ago. Like right now, it's just become part of their culture, and it's like almost to an identity level that some things you go across the border and it's like a whole different set of priorities people have about how they consume different media, how they interact with other people. That's pretty interesting because from the outside looking in, especially looking at the index data, French podcast seems to, podcasting in France, to me, from the outside, seems to be very, insular, I guess, and maybe that's not, this has maybe a negative connotation. What I mean is, like, it seems sort of like, Radio France doesn't want their stuff distributed, and it feels like there's a lot of, is it local first? Maybe that's a bit of the best way to describe it. Like
probably.
Like French podcasts are for the French. They're really not for anybody else first.
Yeah, we don't get even many Canadian podcasts, like French-speaking Canadian podcasts. We don't get that many of them. So yeah, you're probably right. And the thing is, if you watch Netflix in France, you'll get many, many US programs and from everywhere, but
it's called democracy. Yeah, Ben, that's how we spread democracy.
The main reason for that is probably the closed captioned.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. This is probably where the transcript tag will change everything. Now that Apple is going to use it, maybe that will change many things.
Is there a need? Oh, this is interesting. Now, I grew up in the Netherlands, where I believe people learned English by watching American and British, but American television shows with subtitles. In fact, I'm really good at watching anything with subtitles because that's just how we roll. And
this is how my daughters learned English.
Yes. Yeah, so is it, should we be creating or should there be services that create translations of transcripts?
Not necessarily, because if you have an English spoken podcast with English subtitles, usually it's going to be enough. Mm. You can, maybe you need the French transcription and translated if you're very young. But the problem with the American accent is that we don't understand anything that you say.
Really?
Especially if you're from Texas.
Okay, son. Keep going.
So when I say that I sat down yesterday and played the guitar, that it probably doesn't come across the same way, does it?
But the thing is, there are very, very few person listening to American podcast in France because it's really hard to understand. Earlier you talked about a Sparkle, and I think that cereal was the one you guys had mm-hmm. in the U.S.
Reignited podcasting in 2015 or something, 2016. Yeah,
14, I guess. But yeah, and I listened to that show and I really loved it. But I have to admit, like,
it was hard to follow.
Some details. And the thing is, like, I can do the dishes or iron or stuff like that, but I need like 90% of my brain if I want to listen to a podcast that's in English.
Yeah,
I cannot do something else. Whereas if it's in French, I can do anything.
But I got to tell you, I mean, I would really love to see French independent podcasts. I saw this happen in the Netherlands. It kind of happened over the past 4 or 5 years. A few guys, you know, really were pushing it hard, and then just something happened, and they got a couple of shows, and then all the kids all of a sudden were listening to podcasts. I mean, it can happen. Maybe it's a cultural thing, but I think it can happen in every country. And it just seems like it would be so enriching for the culture in France.
Okay. It will, because there are some really, really good podcasts in France. The thing is, you need the audience to meet the podcast, and that's something that's not automatic. And you need probably people to move from the radio to the podcast, and there's a discoverability issue.
Yeah.
That's the problem that everyone says. If I'm a listener, where do I get podcasts? How do I find them? And if you're a podcaster, how do I get discovered?
Right.
And again, transcription, from my point of view, will change everything.
Okay. Tell us now that Apple is doing that. Tell us.
The thing is, if you look at the podcasting ecosystem now, in terms of SEO, we are exactly at the point where we were for the web in 1995.
You're still using Internet Explorer.
Yeah, or Netscape or
Mosaic.
I was using Lynx.
Lynx, like, there you go. That's a real man uses Lynx, absolutely.
And that's open source blood all the way down to the blood, yeah.
Hey, it does images now, you know. Lynx has developed over time.
And back then, we were using Yahoo and AltaVista, and these search engines, they only looked at the title and maybe some metadata, and that's it. And this is what podcasting is right now. Looking for a podcast in Apple Podcasts is impossible. If you're looking for something, the keyword needs to be in the title. Otherwise, you're 100% sure that you won't find it.
Right.
So we are still just looking, searching within the title and some metadata, if we are lucky. Now that we are getting the transcription, and my guess is that Apple Podcasts pushing transcription will make everyone using it. Because so far, it's been 3 years since Castopod has been using transcription and pushing them. But we know that's not enough. And you heard the guys at Lipsing 3 weeks ago when they say, yeah, it's useless because no one is using it.
Yeah.
My guess is that, yeah, probably they're looking at it right now. Or yeah. They should.
Yeah, because Apple added it. Now they're looking at it, of course.
So I'm looking for a snowball effect now regarding the transcription. Meaning that now it will be possible to index everything and to index the content and to know exactly what it's talking about. And the discoverability will change radically.
When it comes to OP3, how many, are there any French podcasts that you know of using OP3? Because I would love to see what the consumption, I would love to see what the app breakdown is and see what apps people are using in France to listen to French podcasts.
Oh, yeah, that's very easy. I don't have Apple. The numbers.
It's going to be Apple.
Ready, but... Actually, no. There's no rule. It really depends on the podcast. It depends also on the country, but it depends on the podcast. Like a podcast talking about open source, and there are many of these using Castopod. Usually, Apple and Spotify are not the first ones.
Oh,
so it depends on the audience. You can have surprises everywhere.
No, I agree with that. I love the individual stats that OP3 delivers. I see my stats. I see Podverse and Podcast Guru up there very high, sometimes higher than Apple or any other app. You're right. It depends on audience. And that's, by the way, I'm not a big fan of looking at, you know, who's number one across everything. You know, to me, that's as senseless as award shows.
Yeah, and that's not the point at all of OP3. Like no. John said it, there is no top 10 on the on OP3. He doesn't want it.
Good.
That's not the goal for that tool. But nevertheless, it's interesting to see and to get numbers on how it's used. But in the end, you know that if a host says listen to my podcast on Apple Podcast and give me stars. Guess what? This is where the user will go. If you say use something from a newpodcastapps.com, that works in the end. If everyone says that, in the end, you know that people will switch and move to platform where they can have more features.
Let me push back on that for a second, though, because it's circular, though. Because when you're listening to a podcast and somebody says, listen to us on Apple Podcasts, you're already listening to the podcast. So you're already listening to it on something. So now I can see that you would switch. That could cause you to switch to a different podcast app. But how did they even get into that to begin with? What's the entry point into being able to initially even hear the podcast in order to hear somebody say, I wish you would listen to us on this other thing.
The exact same mechanism. Like when you used to go on a website with Internet Explorer and they said, yeah, you'd better use Chrome or Firefox.
Yeah, same. And it took years, but it worked.
Yeah, eventually it works. And also, you have to know that many listeners, they discover the podcast on the podcast website.
Yes.
And they click play within Firefox or Chrome or Internet Explorer, maybe. I don't know. So that's the entry. Usually that's the entry point. Because still, going back to discoverability and search engines, there's not that many good search engines for podcasting. So if you look, you're probably search in Google, and Google will lead you to the website.
That's how, so you know, I've, so no agenda. Yeah, it's been around a long time, but we have, you know, we've never asked for ratings, never. And we have as many 5 stars as 1 stars on Apple. I think we might've been featured once 10 years ago. But we've never marketed, never spent a dime on it. We've just asked our listeners to do that. I think that's so underrated. You know, when you ask your listeners to tell people, there's no discovery really. Yeah, by now we have a lot of, top placement in search engines. But to me, it's like, you want people to tell other people. That's the best way. That's someone who is actually going to go and get it. I mean, the number of people who said, I was looking for news with no agenda, I can count on one hand.
I'm thinking that I think Podroll will help this a lot. It will help bring some linkage between podcasting. And I think publisher feeds, when we get that one across the finish line, I think those two things are going to help build a structure that's crawlable, like in a way that we've never had before, where there is actual linkage between shows instead of depending on Google and these, or depending on just textual, like machine learning or something, which is really not going to get you to where we want to be. I mean, what you want is a recommendation [S2] Yes. [S1] Engine that's based on
humans.
Humans in your own sphere. Because if I'm listening to a show, I may not want to listen to the show that the hosts of that show are listening to, but I probably want to know that those shows exist so that I can give them a shot. Isn't so it, I can try them out.
Wasn't recommendation a big push for you, Ben?
Yeah. It's something that I wrote like 3 years ago, almost.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember this.
And if you're if you look back at my example about SEO, like there was a radical change in SEO when Google started working and indexed the whole pages and all the contents. So that's one key feature that we need, and my guess is that we'll have that with the transcriptions. The other part for Google was the page rank. If you remember, now it's impossible to see it, but it still exists. The page rank, so it's like a rate between 0 and 10, I guess, that allows to sort the results for the engine regarding the query that you entered. And it was calculated with the links from one page to another.
Yes.
And the more inbound links you have, the better your page rank is. And that's also something that we probably need on the podcast. And the pod role can help for that, because you can link from one podcast to another. Because if you take a step back, that's something really weird that since all these years, there's no link between podcasts, no connection at all.
Right.
We build the internet on the hyperlinks, but we didn't put any of them for the podcasting. So Podroll is about that. The recommendation tag that I wrote a specification for, so I guess it was 3 years ago, was clearly to enable that, to say this podcast was based on another one that talks about the same subject, or I recommend this other one, or so that you can have links and have like a graph of all the podcasts.
Right.
I think the recommendation tag didn't work eventually because it was too complex.
That's correct, yes.
So probably at some point, I won't give up, but it probably needs to be rewritten from scratch.
Well, the thing with Podroll, which I think is a start of what we're talking about here, is everyone's busy, but I'm just looking at the apps page. I think the only app that supports it is TrueFans and PodFriend, and no other app seems to be supporting it, which is a shame because it's such an obvious good feature, and we've seen the success of a blog role, and as you said, you know, you can start to build these links and these connections. Maybe that'll come in when we do the publisher tag. That ultimately it's just a matter of what the app developers have time for and what they feel like implementing. So we have no control.
It seems like something you could, as an app developer, it would not be too complex. Like when you finish an episode, you know, or you are alongside an episode, there's somewhere visually you can indicate, here's some other podcast that this show recommends. I mean, because the linkage and everything is pretty, it's there. It's really straightforward. And I think, it doesn't seem like a big lift to do that. So does Castapod, do y'all do pod roll yet, Ben?
No.
Okay. Any plans on that?
It's on the roadmap, but not on top of it.
Exactly.
In the list, right? Yeah, I got you. Can we talk about? Let me take a detour here. I want to talk about social a little bit, because one of the biggest things about Castapod, and this has been from the very beginning, and I will cop to this, that I early on in one of the developer roundtables that we had, you and Yassine got onto the Zoom and were saying that podcasting really could benefit from having a deeper integration with ActivityPub. And I did not understand ActivityPub enough at the time to see the power of what you were talking about. But I've totally changed on that. I totally understand what you were saying now. And I think ActivityPub and RSS, I think they're just perfect bedfellows. And I think, so Castapod has been from the beginning an ActivityPub-centric experience. I think it's basically designed around ActivityPub as a first-class citizen. And what I'm trying to do now, after I wrote the ActivityPub, the index to ActivityPub bridge, what I've been trying to do is figure out a way to link a podcast owner to an ActivityPub identity, so that you could say, okay, this podcast, which now has an actor on the Fediverse, this other actor is the owner of this podcast, so that owner's actor object gets a lot of gets some preferential treatment, I guess, and becomes important as a link to the podcast. And so we've thrown around a bunch of ideas, and one was with Nathan Gathright came up with some ideas, and he, you know, we could say, well, this goes back to your proposal when you first brought in Social Interact. You had a separate tag for social sign up and then a tag just called social. But then Nathan said, you know, and we could go back to that. We could say, okay, well, here's a podcast, and we define a tag where you can explicitly say the owner of this podcast is this ActivityPub handle. But you could also say, well, let's look in the person tag and we could add an attribute there, or we could do a web finger lookup on the URL that's in the person tag. And try to discover an ActivityPub object from that. Do you have any ideas around what you think makes the most sense?
Well, I think you need to keep that as simple as possible. I'm not very comfortable with the fact that you have many actors because you don't know how this will behave on other platforms on the Fediverse. And we have many feedbacks from users saying, well, I'm a bit lost because I have an account on the Fediverse for Mastodon. I have one for PixelFed and I have one for Castapod. And I wish I had only one of them to group them or So I think it's the same idea of I need like a master one or a, but the thing is I like to have separate things. Like my podcast is exists by itself. It's a thing on the Fediverse. And if I have me as a user or as a podcaster, another account on Mastodon, I think that's great. And the good thing is that on the Fediverse, all these actors can talk to each other and they can share and like and comment and talk together. But if you take a step back and think of what it was before the Fediverse, well, you had an email address and you had a Facebook account and a Twitter account and a SoundCloud account. Exactly the same. The big difference is that all these accounts could not talk together. Thanks to the Fediverse, they can talk together. So you still have to have an account for a specific task of role that you want to do. And I think that's good that you need to have separate interfaces or stuff because it's not the same role. But in the end, since they can talk together, well, that's good. And probably you can use like something that we don't have in Castopod that we have to add it in a new future that has Mastodon. You can say who which website owns this account. So that's in the end. You'll be able to cross-own your accounts. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
Yeah, because what I could see is like right now the bridge, you can follow a podcast as an activity. You can follow a podcast on the Fediverse through the Podcast Index bridge. But if that was a Castapod podcast, then what I would want to do probably is forward those requests, basically treat that as if the account had moved from the bridge to Castapod itself.
I wouldn't go through that hassle. I think that's too complex.
Well,
you're going to drown.
You wouldn't want to redirect them to the official Castapod instance?
I would add a link on my bio and say, my podcast is here. Subscribe.
Oh, instead of doing it at the ActivityPub level?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, either way. I just want, like, if you have a podcast and you have a Castapod, so if your podcast is on the Fediverse, but then you also have an account on the Fediverse, I just want to know that you are the one who's the podcaster so that I can see you both.
Yeah, so that's something that we have to add to Castapod.
Mm-hmm. If you were going to add that, how would you do it? Like, what would your design be?
Oh, you add a metadata rel, you know, and the link to that's it.
The Sam Sethi method.
And you do it both ways. So right now with Castapod, there is no way to do it either way. But that's not something very difficult to do. It's just a link.
But what would it look like in the RSS feed, though? So if I'm declaring my
That's not RSS. That's not in the RSS. You have to put that on the web page.
Right. No, I understand. But if from an RSS standpoint, how do we know? How does the index? I want a way for the index to know.
Oh, you can add the link in the RSS the same you would add it in the HTML page. You just have. You need the app, the player, to look into the RSS feed and verify if everything's okay.
Yeah. So with the link, you would have to the link. I think link is an atom tag, right? So you'd have to declare the atom namespace and bring that in with the rel. Okay. Yeah, we've got some options here. I mean, that's really where I want things to be because the social interact stuff is working really well. I mean, I think that tag is great. It's just, it's, it's lacking this one bit of information, which is where are the people who host the show? Like, who are they on the Fediverse? And we have to be able to, we have to be able to go from a podcast that declares its presence on the social, on the Fediverse, to who are the people who are involved. And I think that probably ends up landing in some
way. Man, can you put that in the person tag? Yeah, person tag with the rel equals. Yeah. That sounds like the easy way to do it.
In the HTML page, it's just like a href and then the link to your Mastodon account, rel equals me. So you could put the same in the RSS, exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. But the thing is, if you do that, it's not going to be very symmetric. You have to think of which app will try to verify and how that's going to work. But that's how I would do it. Just to say I'm the owner of this.
Right.
Make two step backs about the whole Fediverse and ActivityPub stuff, because we know it's complex and not all users understand why we're doing that. The whole point of CastoPod when we began working on it was to make sure that podcasters stay in control and don't get ripped off of their value. And the value of a podcaster is the content and the audience. So the fact that CastoPod is open source and can be self-hosted ensures that you can self-host your content, your MP3 and the metadata, and no one can remove that from you. And for the audience, the ActivityPub stuff, the Fediverse stuff, ensures that you have a direct contact between your podcast and your audience. And your audience can talk, share, like, and comment your episodes from your podcast with no middleman, and there's no one that can cut the connection between your podcast and your audience. That's something really important. So it's not just for fun, because we thought it's a cool feature to have little stars on the CastoPod website and that you can see the comments on the CastoPod website. It's really important that there's no middleman between the content and the audience. So can you create content? Yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your question. Finish your thought.
When you create a podcast on CastoPod, no one can steal what you created, neither the content nor the audience.
Dave, I know you've been looking at, I saw some threads about Blue Sky. Am I now to understand that there could be a bridge between a podcast through the Index, ActivityPub, and then ultimately bridge through to Blue Sky?
I think people are making Blue Sky bridges.
Okay.
I don't.
Because that to me is real Fediverse. That to me is real Fediverse when that stuff happens.
Well, see, I think the Blue Sky stuff that I saw this week was about them federating amongst themselves.
Oh, okay, all right.
Like, so that you could have other personal data servers within Blue Sky. But I don't, and I know there are projects going that will bridge Fediverse.
I sure hope so, because I really enjoy the Noster bridges. I mean, I love following people who are on Noster, except for the long numbers.
yeah.
That's like, okay, whatever. Yeah. But to me, it's like I see more and more of and I have my own Mastodon instance. I love having it kind of as the hub of all these different social networks. To me, that is the true Fediverse there.
It feels like ActivityPub Fediverse is sort of the hub that these other ones are attaching to.
Yeah.
It's like you have, imagine it as like Mickey Mouse's head with the Fediverse, with ActivityPub as the face, and then you have Blue Sky as one of the ears and Noster as the other ear.
Got it.
I mean, that's what it feels like.
Let's take a little break here, gentlemen. Let's play a little bit of music as we'd like to do here on the, so we can keep our stats up there in that RSSblue.com stats page.
Nice.
Benjamin, I will tell you, disappointingly, I could not find, or nor do I have a way to find any French songs in that are up on Value for Value. I would love to have some chansons to play. I've found some Japanese stuff.
You should have told me. I would have looked for it.
I mean, unfortunately, there's no way to really find out, I don't think, if a song is in the French language. Is there?
Hmm.
I don't think there is. But
just the language tag in the RSS, but yeah, that's so unreliable. Yeah,
certainly not with music. Well, if you find any, Benjamin, I love chansons.
Yeah, I'll sing it if I have to.
No, that's okay. Thank you. That's fine.
Take it away.
We're going to play new artist Emily Rana. Nice and short, this one. I think people like it. This is called Someone Else.
Can't go anywhere without tripping on the clothes you left lying around. And I swear, I'm tired every day slipping. And you don't care. Turns out there's a stranger in my house, but it's easier to tell myself it's someone else, someone else. Turns out I'm a stranger in my own house, in my own house. But it's easier to tell myself it's someone else, someone else. Your dishes in the sink, been there for weeks and I can't bring myself to do one. Sitting on the kitchen floor, yeah, I don't go out. Can't seem to do it. Turns out there's a stranger in my house, but it's easier to tell myself it's someone else, someone else. So step inside of my brain, where I make excuses, I'm the ball in the chain, when I'm feeling. Turns out I'm a stranger in my own house, but it's easier to tell myself it's someone else, someone else. Wish I could kick you out and change the locks. Oh, I wish that I was living alone, but we know I'm not. Step inside of my brain, where I make excuses. I'm the ball and the chain, when I'm feeling anxious. Turns out I'm a stranger in my own house, in my own house. But it's easier to tell myself it's someone else, someone else.
Emily Rana, Someone Else. I like this song for a number of reasons. One, because it's kind of like the Ainsley Costello poppy vibe, and you need that these days. Two, because I believe this is an artist who is signed with Phantom Power Music, and I really like what those guys are doing, because they're taking some very simple concepts of record promotion. They email me with, you know, three songs a week. This is what we recommend. This is who we're working with. You know, it's called promoting. It's marketing. I really enjoy that, because that, we need that kind of stuff to build you know, more of a system, an ecosystem. And I will make my plea once again to the app developers. I would love for you to look at your TLV records, what you're sending. I have no idea if you're boosting for a song for many of the apps. And if you feel like it, adding that reply to in your TLV record is just so joyous. I love sending sats back to people. I know it's another one of those things you put on your list, but man, I think the split kit only sends the artist, which is completely unhelpful. But I know Stephen B's Stephen B's very busy. So That's my weekly plea to look at your TLV records, because it really makes a difference to see what, and for the artist too, because they get a boostagram and they don't know. They just see boostagram ball. They don't know what song it was for or anything.
I'm resisting the urge to get into fee discussions here because I'm afraid everybody would just drive their forehead into the wall.
I don't know. I think Activity Pub got me ready to shoot myself, but you know, if you,
we'll save it.
You want to save it? Let me see. Ben, I wanted to just, cause you were so kind to send through a bunch of questions. I wanted to roll through your needs. You had three we needs. And so we just walk through those for a second. Cause you know, seems like it's something you want to talk about.
Analytics, source, and ad tag.
Yeah. Analytics tag, source tag, and a tag to create an ad ecosystem. Or we could talk about why affiliation is the only solution to save the internet from online ads.
How much time do we have?
We got to 2 minutes.
Okay, so I'll be very quick. Since Phase 7 is closing on June the 1st, I was thinking that maybe we could add a few more tags so that Dave don't get bored.
Oh, okay.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Thank you
for thinking of me, Ben.
Okay, so, all right, let's talk about them.
So we talked about the recommendation tag. That's probably need a complete rewrite. I was thinking about a podcast analytics tag, because the other day I was looking at some podcasts in OP3 and you have to find the UID and see if it exists. And if you get a 404, it means that it's not there. So maybe just add a link to the OP3 page for this specific podcast so that you know if it's worth looking there, if it's here. And that's very easy to do, very cheap. And that will help promoting OP3, I guess.
That's interesting, yeah.
I was also thinking about adding, and this was not in my email because I found a dozen other tags while I was asleep last night. I think we need a country tag because we know what language is a podcast, which language it is, but we don't know from which country. So we don't know if it's in English, if it's US, UK, Australia, or wherever. If it's French, we don't know if it's from Africa, from Belgium, or Canada, or France.
Are you talking about using the ISO 3166 codes?
Exactly. Yeah. That would be cool as well. Even if not everyone uses it, it will give you a raw idea of the numbers of because we really can't tell now unless we know the all of them
like the location tag is the location that the podcast is about, but the country tag would be where it's originated
origin
from.
If you use the location tag to specify where the podcast was recorded, James Cridland will get you and
he will come to your house,
slap you in the face because
which is why no one uses it. And like, I'm afraid to do it wrong. I don't want Cridland to slap me.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a good idea. I'm a fan of that. I mean, people use it, or PayPal uses the 3166, and I always appreciate that when we have donations for No Agenda, because no matter what weird town, and believe me, there's a lot of Paris, you know, then you can at least see what country it is. And I'm all for that. I think that's a good idea. And I know most of them by heart, you know, just because of the country stickers and that Europeans use.
Yeah.
On the cars.
Oh, is that like the two letter? Is that the two letter codes?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is.
Okay.
I think we also need a source tag to know where the podcast was originally broadcasted or published. So if before being a podcast, it was a Twitch live, or it was a live item, or it was maybe on YouTube or on a radio network, so that you know where it was before being a podcast, or maybe it's a rerun. And that could be very useful in France, where, you know, we don't do everything the same way.
You mean that if there's a podcast episode you're listening to, you would want to know whether that originally was like a radio program?
Exactly. If what we call native podcasts, which means it was published as a podcast first, or if it's a rerun
or a radio
podcast. Yeah. And it would provide the useful information to know where it was published in the first place.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a URL, and if it's empty, it means it's what we call in French un podcast natif.
Natif. Native.
Natif.
Native. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You speak French.
Mais oui. Speaking of James Cridland, for just a moment, you interviewed him for, what magazine was that for?
Le Podcast Magazine.
Yes, Le Podcast Magazine, which is that's a beautiful product, actually.
It is. Yeah, 200 pages.
That's a real, and what's the circulation of that? There's a lot of people, and how do you even distribute that? Do you have to order it, do you put them at newsstands? Do you throw them out your car window? How do people get those?
No, you subscribe on podcastmagazine.fr.
Oh, and then you get it in the mail?
Yeah.
And, yes?
It's published by a guy named Philippe Chapeau, who is also
His name that's like Phil Hat? Is that his name? Philippe Chapeau? Phil Hat?
Exactly, yeah. Actually, James Cridland calls him Mr. Hat.
There you go. Mr. Hat, yes. You sent me some clips, which I did.
I did.
I didn't know that that you recorded. Was that from the interview that you recorded and then you just transcribed it, or did you publish these somewhere?
No. No one ever heard that before.
Oh, well, can I play the one where you asked James about me? Because obviously it's about me. I think that's the most important clip.
Please.
Here we go.
You know.
Oh, wait a minute. You did left, right. Really?
Hold on a second.
You did you on left and him on right?
Yeah. You have to play it on mono.
Yes. Okay, that takes a second here. Here we go. Let's see if this works.
Adam Curry doesn't mince his words when he disagrees with someone, and that includes you.
Yes.
Are you two getting along?
Yes, I think so. Yes, I think so. Absolutely. Absolutely. He and I are both, he and I are very similar, actually. We both are very obsessive about what we are interested in. And that means that if people either don't get it or are, you know, willfully not getting it, then, we will not be particularly happy about that. But I think what is exciting about the whole podcasting 2.0 ecosystem is that actually people are incredibly passionate about what they are doing, and sometimes that means that people's ideas clash, and that's actually great. I would much rather that than interminable, you know, meetings and people saying one thing and doing the other and blah blah blah. At least you know where you stand, so that's a good thing.
That
was good.
Kind of him. Yeah, I agree. I'm totally on board.
I agree too. Yeah, I agree too. It's better, like, you. It's better to have people get super pissed off and then gripe at each other.
And figure it out. And then figure it out.
Figure it out. Yeah. Figure it out and move forward. And then everybody's fine. I mean, that's one thing that defines this group more than any other open source project I can ever remember. Is
exactly,
just
yeah.
The passion and then the disagreement, but then everybody just moves on and gets, we just push stuff out. It's wonderful.
That's why Sam, yeah, I was going to say, Sam Sethi, you didn't have to send a note of apology for what you said about me this week. he sent me an email. I'm sorry in advance for my passion. He was like, Adam Curry this, Adam Curry that. I was like, brother, you don't. I've given up my right to be offended a long time ago. It's all good, and I love your passion.
And you have to say when you disagree to find a meeting point in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which exactly leads me to my last tag.
Okay. Here we go.
Because this one, I think it's is something on which Adam and I strongly disagree.
Beautiful. Here we go.
I think we need a podcast ad tag for advertising.
Oh,
why
would you think I would disagree with that? I'm already interested. I like this. Just the fact that you're thinking about it makes me interested.
I think you disagree because you're not so much in the advertising industry, or that's not the way you wish to promote podcasting. My point of view is that we cannot let YouTube and we cannot abandon the podcast advertising to YouTube.
Well,
or to Spotify or to anyone. And there's something I was quite surprised when I first looked at it, the numbers of the how many YouTube channels there are. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Yeah, because no one knows, because obviously YouTube keep these hidden and secrets. But we think they are around 30,000 YouTube thirty million YouTube channels, which compared to 4 million podcasts is quite impressive. And the reason why is, I guess, that people try and build channels on YouTube because they have a dream that they will be able to monetize and to make money out of it. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't know, there is no number of how much money you can get from a YouTube channel. Like, not if you're the first one or in the top 10, but if you're average, what's the median income from a YouTube channel?
$2.
But the thing is, the dream works. And YouTube managed to get everyone on its platform. And my fear is that even though so far it doesn't work at all, eventually they manage to get every podcaster in the world on their platform because it's easy. You don't pay for the hosting. You get all the tools you need. You get the social network, you get the search engine, you get the player, and you get the monetization part.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they get everyone on board and it's a closed silo and they have a monopoly, it's game over. Probably some of us will still fight for an open and interoperable podcasting ecosystem. But you know, that doesn't wait very much. Myself, when I'm looking for a video on the internet, I'm going to YouTube. So that's a huge risk. So I think we need a really open and interconnected advertising system for the podcasting industry. And one where all the counterparts, all the actors can share the same goal. Because so far, if you're looking at how things are working, if you're a podcaster, you can insert an ad, like audio ad, but the app will get nothing out of it. And on the other end, if an ad puts an advertisement on the app, like a Podcast Addict does, The podcaster will get nothing.
So let me jump in here. Are you suggesting, just let me see if I'm following along, an ad tag that is an open call that says you can add an advertisement to this podcast, and then here's some parameters, et cetera, so that everyone knows. So you're building an open ecosystem so that advertisers and advertising companies could come from the outside and just utilize that?
And share revenue between the host, the app, the podcaster.
Hmm.
So this sounds sort of like what Google is trying to do in the browser with their new, I forgot the name of it, but this new thing where they're essentially turning the browser into the ad auction platform. But you're saying that instead of having a centralized ad,
or host only, or hosting company only. That's kind of how I see it working now, is the hosting companies are doing a lot of that work.
Or the privacy sandbox. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah. But the thing is, we need to be first to write down this specification so that it meets what we need, what we think would be the right thing to do. For one thing, there's something really cool that I like a lot about the podcasting ecosystem, is that there's no cookie. There's never been any cookies in the podcasting apps. So right now, if you're listening to a podcast with audio insertion, maybe it will be geolocalized, but that's about it. Because the ad tech doesn't know anything about you as a listener. When you go on the website, they have your whole history for the past 6 months. When you're listening to a podcast in a podcast app, they know nothing, which is a really good thing in my point of view, because I think that advertisements should be contextual.
Well, and here's what I would like to see. If this is something that the advertising, we hear all the time from the ad people, from the Media Roundtable, what sounds profitable. I mean, there's endless numbers of advocates and advertising agencies within podcasting and audio in general. If this is something that they want to have as an open specification for this type of thing, if that's something they want, I would say they should write it. They should write the specification, submit it to the namespace, and let everybody hash it out.
And the part that I like, Benjamin, is that's where you grab my attention, is that everybody shares in it, the host, the podcast, and the app. That part I like a lot. But I'm with Dave. Like, hey, you know, you guys are always talking about it. Here's your opportunity. Go build it. Write it up.
Yeah, but I don't think if we wait for the ad tech to write that, I don't think that's going to go well. They're probably try to reproduce what they've been doing on the internet for the past 20 years, and I don't like that as a user.
Ad tech is abandoning podcasting anyway. Eventually, on the long term, Ben, I mean, they're going to bail out. They're already trying to create a narrative of transition of that podcasting is converting to video,
yes,
you know, or which is completely not true. But it's because the money is leaving podcasting and going to YouTube. So the ad agencies and the digital advertising market is trying to create this narrative so they can follow the money over to YouTube and bail out of podcasting. And I think they're leaving anyway. So
Which is exactly my point. Don't abandon everything to YouTube.
So I guess what I'm saying is that if they all leave, there won't be anybody to even run this system anyway.
I'll be here. You can count on me.
Well, you are. Right?
I'm fine with 100% of the market shares.
Okay. Well, Jay, you write it up. I vote yes. I vote yes.
I'd love to see it. Yeah. I'd love to see it.
We'll call it the Casta ad tag.
Yes.
Let's thank a few people as we near the end of our time here today in this board meeting, which has been just lovely to catch up with our good old friend there, Benjamin Bellamy from France. We have a number of boosts that came in. Dovidas, RSS Blue with 1,000 sats, just came. He says, I just sent a boostagram about how I hate fees, and all of it went to the artist. Booberry, 8008, a Booberry boost. This time next week, is an ad. This is how I like advertising. This time next week, homegrown hits featuring Dame DeLorean, Mary-Kate Ultra, and Daisy B. Cooper will have the first ever boostable disco ball. I found a guy who's got a big, big rehearsal space in Minneapolis. He wants to host an onboard day where we'd bring in all the bands that use the space, onboard them, and get them on stage for a set during the live stream. And he says, I'm going to need V4V music videos. Booberry is very... very jacked up about all the music stuff. I love that. Of course, he was a big part of the Ainsley and Just Loud concert. Here's Phantom Power from Phantom Power Music Hour, 2,000 sets, boosting for the Dutch Duke of Decentralized Music. Thanks, Adam and Dave. Love you too. Rove Ducks from Anonymous. Your seriously simple podcasting WordPress plugin is very easy to use for an average user like myself. What is he saying? Who has the seriously simple podcasting WordPress?
Seriously simple. That's a cat. That's a. Oh, what is the name of that? I forgot. Totally forgot the name of the host. It's escaping me. It's a Castos. Thank you, Nathan.
Oh, Castos. Another 808 from Booberry. I've been adding all the music feeds we've hosted to our pre-show feed for Podroll. Can't wait to see it display fully somewhere. There you go. People are publishing.
Nice.
We have a Podroll. I got a Podroll in all my podcasts now. DWEV 1789. Merci, Benjamin, for a fantastic platform. So proud to be a contributor to the project. Are you familiar with DWEV?
Yeah.
Okay. And Matt Medeiros, 1,000 sats, coming in from True Fans. He says, you're thinking, Dave, about Tanner Campbell.
Tanner Campbell, yes.
Whatever happened to him? Whatever happened
to him? Yeah, he caused waves for a long time, and then he just...
he waved away.
He subscribed to his Substack, and he said, one day he said, I'm not going to do this anymore, bye. And he just left. Okay.
Joe Martin Music with 2,100 sats, and he says, sats greater than streams. I hear that. Sir Brian of London, 1948. This week's episode better be full of je ne sais quoi. I think we had beaucoup je ne sais quoi. Colomona, Striper Boost, 7777, listening live while preparing for my long drive back to Missouri from California this weekend. This is Sir Libre. I love playing here in the Value Verse. Thank you all for your hard work. Where are we with categories? Also, are we ever going to get more Torcon 7? May God bless you, my brother, Sir Libre. Yes, where's your kid, man? More Torcon.
Now, my son is currently trying to find a welding gig, so he has no time for Torcon. So,
man, you think that there will be plenty of openings for welders.
No, there is. Yeah, there is. He's a newbie, and he doesn't have his certification yet.
So okay.
He's not fully certified, so he's trying to find a gig where he can work and still go to school to get finish his certification. Yeah.
Dreb Scott, the Bruce Wayne of podcasting 2.0, with a nice row of ducks, 22,222. He says, "Boosty McBoost boost, boost back at you, Dreb." And Dreb, of course, also does our chapters. We appreciate that. Salty Crayon. 1111 here on Upbeat's Ranch, doing things a little differently going forward. Might hurt some feelings, but Bitcoin basic education is needed. We got too many clueless cattle running around with no border collie to guide them where to go. Wave Lake is Cargill. Okay, he's Cargill is like the big ag. We don't eat from there anymore. Next, the bucket of Albi eggs in one basket is too full. From now on, it's grassroots, grass-finished musicians that get to come into the ranch. ITP.
I like grass-finished musicians. That's a good one.
Yeah, well, we definitely need to get Roy on. We need more solutions for wallets, for sure. for sure. Yeah. I have resorted to telling people that, you know, you don't have to be afraid of Bitcoin. You can buy it right through your, right on Wall Street, right through your broker, through your ETF. Your ETF. It's official. It's real. It's not a scam. And let me see. I think that's it. Yeah. Then I hit the delimiter. So Dave, over to you.
Oh. Yeah, we got some PayPals this week. We got Buzzsprout, our friends over there, with a $1,000 monthly donation.
Whoa.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you so much, guys. That's still trying to get them back.
Yeah, still trying to get them back on the show. We just can't. Yeah, yeah, but there's like scheduling chaos. So it's
not on our end.
That's true. Yeah, we'll get them on soon. Right behind that, Marco Arman, $500 again this month.
Another
shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
There was an interesting remark on the podcast weekly review that we don't give Marco any shit for not adding any podcasting 2.0 features. I'm paraphrasing. And I would say that the genesis of what Dave and I are doing here is the podcast index, which is to keep a free and open ecosystem for podcasting, specifically podcast apps. Marco supports us with not just treasure, but time and talent. We have correct me if I'm wrong, we have a synchronization with his database and our database, and he uses us as a fallback. And whenever he finds something we don't have, he automatically plugs it in. And, so all these features that just came along and we've just stuck it in for the ride. I mean, that was not anything in our initial mission statement. For the same reason, I'm sure Podcast Weekly Review doesn't call out Buzzsprout for not adding several features. We appreciate Marco's support.
Well, I'm not going to call out any indie app developer for
anything.
I mean, I can't run their business. I mean, I can't tell them what to do, but he also, he provides time with syncing and giving us a constant stream of new feeds. And he donates $500 a month so that his own competitors can have an index to use. I mean, it's really hard to criticize that. So,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean,
no, you said exactly that. No, you're exactly right. I mean, yes, he's funding his own competition. So that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
Co-opetition.
Money where his mouth is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really hard to criticize anything about that. And likewise, Franco Solario, $100.
I'm going to hit him a big baller for that one too.
Shot caller, 20 inch blades on the Impala.
From Castomatic, and he just says thank you. I mean, there's another app developer giving money to the index to support us so that other app developers, one of which I emailed with yesterday, who's creating a sermon, like religious podcast based app.
Oh,
and he's trying to figure out, how to use the index, and I've been helping him.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, well, there's Marco and Franco and Mitch and all these app developers that are providing the money to fund the index to help other people who can't afford it, who are just starting out. And I just think that's great.
Yes.
And let's see, we got, Thomas Umstead Media, $25. And he says, caught my 4-year-old running full speed with an open pair of scissors and figured that was a good reminder to send some value.
Yes.
Keep up the great work, Thomas Umstead.
Nothing like teaching your kid good practices early on.
Yeah. let's see. We got some boosts. We got, thank you, Thomas. Oh, Dave Jackson, the legend, 2000 Sats, 3 True Fans.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Says great tune. Yeah. Not sure which tune exactly. Which
Sam, we need some TLV record info, brother. I know he's working on it.
Pod Home, Barry, our buddy over there, 20,000 Sats through Podcast Guru, says great timing. Live is currently in beta for select users in Pod Home. It's almost ready for the mainstream, including an Icecast server hosted by Podhome.
Whoa.
And adding the chat tag is something that will make this a more complete feature. Yes.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Nice.
We didn't even talk about that. I finalized the chat tag over the past weekend. So.
No, I saw it. You asked for eyes on. I looked at it and went, okay, I looked at it. I hope it's okay.
We had one, I asked for feedback, and I got one reply, which was Barry saying, "Looks good." I consider that to be a successful deployment. Yes.
Yes. Okay, good.
R.W. Nash, 2000 SAS through Fountain, he says, still missing the Delta Sierra.
Well, the Delta Sierra Charlie, is that what he means?
He said Delta Sierra. I'm not sure what he means.
Well, it used to be the Daily Source Code was also known as the Delta Sierra Charlie. I'm not sure what the Delta Sierra is. Well,
I don't know. Gene Bean, 2222. He says, another great boardroom discussion. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you, Gene, for your monitoring and all everything else you do. Oh, there's Elite Boost from Gene, 1337 through Castomatic. He says, also the Fountain Boost bot in the splits seems broken. It's showing no route.
That may be something I have to change. Let me write down my list because they changed
the node ID.
Yeah, I think I have to change that. Okay, Fountain Boost bot. Yep.
Yeah, we got Oscar coming up here in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to discuss a lot of that type of stuff with him.
Good.
Kevin Bay, 50,000 sats. Oh, thank you, Kevin. Nice, Kevin. Podverse. Says, Dave, watch Guys and Dolls if you haven't seen it yet. One of my favorite musicals of all time, Sinatra and Brando. It's a classic. We watched it 3 weeks ago.
And
I did technical theater, the lighting for Guys and Dolls when I was in high school.
Did you like it, though? Did you like the musical?
Great, great musical.
What are you watching this week?
Let's see. This week we watched something that wasn't a musical. We watched Roman Holiday. Have you seen that movie?
Is that
Gregory Peck and who's the Breakfast at Tiffany's girl?
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn. Yeah, Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn.
I'm sure I've seen it at some point. Yes,
she's the British princess who goes to.
Do they wind up riding around on Vespa scooters a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've seen it.
That was a good movie. But then we also watched Julie Andrews in Sound of Music. We're about halfway through that.
Sound of Music. I love that. I can watch that over and over again.
Julie Andrews playing the guitar.
I could do without, but I just like the, you know, I like when they're running from the Nazis and they're all hiding. It was spooky and scary when I saw it as a kid, and I still love it.
Also, bonus points for using the phrase flibbity gibbet, which is always a good term.
Flibbity gibbet, yes.
Are you a fan of musicals, Benjamin?
Yeah.
Are there French?
Les Miserables, baby. Les Mis.
That's true.
Yeah. Many of them. Regarding movies, Jacques Demy, if you heard of him, was very famous, and he inspired La La Land. And
oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Oh, interesting. When I was a kid, when I was 13 or 12, I lived in a very small village outside of Amsterdam, and on Sundays they would have a movie for the kids at like the kind of town hall ish was what it was. And the movies I liked the most were Louis de Funès.
Yeah.
And I mean, he had the crazy Citroën DS that could fly. if I recall. Did you ever watch any of those movies, Louis de Funès?
Yeah, sure. Very famous. Probably most famous funny movies in France.
Yeah.
Is it Francoise Hardy? Yeah, she ended up in my Spotify playlist, and I'm a huge fan now. I don't know what she's saying, but I'm a huge fan. I need you to send me some French musicals because my wife has been learned. Speaks French. She speaks French very well, and she's been learning French for years now, and she speaks it very well. And so, but she was just saying today that she wants to do a more immersive French on Fridays, and so she wants to basically start listening to French podcasts, basically everything French on Friday, so that she can get deeper into it. And so I need some musicals for her. I think she would like that.
I see Stinky Cheese in your future.
Musical movies, yeah. She can watch Christophe Honoré movies. really good.
Let's see. We got, let's see. That was Kevin Bay. Thank you, Kevin. Unai Gomez to Podverse. 3, 4, 5, 6 sats. Congrats with the impressive stats, guys. Hopefully we can get over the 69 million sats in 2024. Thank you, man. Franco. Oh, is this Franco? Yeah, this is Franco from Castomatic. 10,000 sats coming in. Cats suck. When you have a chance, go see Rocky Horror Show. Hands down, my favorite musical.
Cats. He doesn't hate the animal cats. He just hates the musical cats. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Franco. Sir Brian of London, 11,948 Mega Israel boost. Castomatic. He says, definitely saw Mamma Mia in the West End, too. Oh, yep.
No.
I think it originated there, maybe. Mm. Comic strip blogger, The Delimiter, 30,000. DeFountain, he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Oh, boy. Hold on to your dentures for Grumpy Old Ben's podcast. Join our two grumpy hosts, Darren, the unemployed O'Neill from the Windy City of Chicago, and Ryan, the Amazon delivery driver, Bimrose, from the land of caffeine and rain, Seattle, as they dive headfirst into the madness of today's world from their cozy bunkers. It's like listening to Statler and Waldorf from The Muppets, but with sarcasm and less felt. More info, www.grumpyoldbens.com. Yo, CSB.
Thank you, comics or blogger. Always promoting other podcasts. That's really appreciated. That was an ad. That should have had an ad tag.
That's right. Yes. Ad tag next time, CSP.
It's funny.
And use your and use ChatGPT to make it.
Whenever people do like ads in value for value notes, it never bothers me.
No, not me. Never. It's funny because they're fun. They care.
Yeah.
They like it. It's personal. I love it.
And we don't have to wait for the advertising company to send us the check. You know, it's immediate.
It doesn't have to, it doesn't break in halfway through a word.
Yes. And we don't have to have a meeting with the client. I love it. It's really good. It's very good.
Oh, we got some monthlies. Let's see. We got Satan's Lawyer, $5 from Down Under, which seems appropriate.
I have not listened to his episode yet. I've been resisting Satan.
I just love that Satan's Lawyer lives down under. That just makes so much sense. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. Thank you, guys. James Sullivan, $10. Christopher Reamer, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Thank you, Sean. Kohn Glotzbach, which I'm sure I've also mispronounced 1,000 times. Please tell me if I'm wrong. $5. Kevin Bay, $3.81 from the 2.0 Endowment Fund. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
And Jordan Dunville, $10.
That's wow. Good reads, Dave.
Oh, thanks.
And right on time. Beautiful. It now being, 9:30 in Paris. The beautiful lights of Paris over the Seine as lovers stroll by the waterway. Can you see any of that where you are?
No, because I had to shut down the curtain to make sure there's no echo. So I see nothing.
Cinder blocks and plaster. Yes.
Benjamin, we appreciate you so much, man. You've been at this very, very early in the game. Well, as you said, we kind of start at the same time. And you've just been a great supporter. And we love what you do with Castabot. One last question I had for you. Has there ever been or have you considered Dockerizing this and getting it onto Umbral or my preference, Start9?
It is Dockered. Mm-hmm. Think you can install Castopod on the Unohost Docker. We have a Kubernetes installation, Ansible script, everything. So we have a wonderful community doing all that stuff for us, so we don't have to. And regarding the Umbral, I don't know if someone did it, but there are official Docker images, so should be pretty easy to do.
Well, if anyone out there is knows what to do, I mean, I use Start9. I would love to have Castapod and Start9 because they're going to do open networking soon, so you won't have to deal with just Tor. And I would love to try that out here at home. So if anyone wants to take that Dockerized stuff and package it up, which is a little bit beyond my pay grade, I think it'd be great. I will promote it. That's for sure.
Castapod on the Umbral or the Start9 plus IPFS podcasting for distribution would be a great combo.
Win, win, win. It would be phenomenal. Absolutely.
Yeah, IPFS won't be that easy on the other hand. Yeah.
But we already have IPFS podcasting.
It already works.
It's already. Where you been, man?
We got it.
It's working. Do you know really
how that? Have you seen that working, Ben?
I had a quick look.
Yeah, you check it out. It's good because like for somebody who's hosting out of their house and and would just fall down on the bandwidth demand, that's a great solution.
Yeah,
IPF. Yeah, the thing is, it requires quite a bunch of refactoring on Castopods, which is why we hadn't a deeper look into that yet.
So with
you mean to put the prefix in?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, I guess because you're uploading direct. Okay. Yeah. I see what you mean. Cause you'd have to put the enclosure on a CDN and then put the prefix in.
We'd have to change some stuff first.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
No doubt. I mean, this is what's so beautiful. It's like, there's no rush. We'll get there when we get there. The podcasting is going to be around for long after we're gone. That's the part that I love knowing.
And don't ever feel bad or apologize for having a long to-do list, because if your to-do list is too short, that's when you burn out.
All right, gentlemen. Benjamin, thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to add two things, if you'll allow me.
Of course.
First, there's one subject that we couldn't talk about, is the Podcasting 2.0 logo. So we'll have to do that some other time. Daniel J. Lewis asked me if I could have a look and make a nice logo for this. I don't know if you could see the thread on the Mastodon.
I have not, but I will look for it. Yeah.
Have a look. Yep. And last, I do eat snails and frogs.
You know what? We actually eat snails here in Texas at a Bavarian restaurant, believe it or not. So I'm with you on that. I like the escargot. The frogs.
We've been eating frogs in Alabama
for
200 years.
Before France. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. We have frog gigging is a. Do you know frog gigging? Do you know that, Benjamin?
No.
Frog gigging is you take a little. It's like a spear, and it has like a trident on the end of it with three spikes. Yeah. And you go frog gigging, and you go and you just pop one of them and throw them all in a bucket, and then you come back and cut their legs off and eat them.
CC, we're not barbarians here.
No, not at all.
I knew that.
We get them. We eat snails. We eat frog. We also eat squirrels. But that's maybe for another episode.
We have been known to eat a squirrel or two.
Yep, roadkill. Yeah, roadkill fraud gigging. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Brother Dave, thank you. Have a great weekend, my brother. And don't worry about that to-do list.
All right. See you guys.
Okay. Viva la podcast. Thank you very much, Benjamin. We love you, man. And
love you too.
Thank you very much to everybody in the chat room, which is known as the boardroom. We convert it. We'll be back next week with another episode of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
James Quidlam will get you.